Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and I'm back to continue reading the News Gazette for today. Now I'll be reading part two. And for this date, the News Gazette for this date, Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. As always, we begin this section with the reading of the obituaries for today. Let's begin. The first obituary for today is for Edward Bringar. B-R-I-N-E-G-A-R, Bringar. Edward A. Bringar, 83, of Champaign, died at 9:47 a.m. Sunday, May 4th, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but are being handled by Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive West in Savoy. The next death notice is for Margie Chapman. That's M-A-R-G-I-E, last name Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N. Margie Chapman, 83, of Clinton, died at 4:30 a.m. Sunday, May 4th, 2025, at Accolade Healthcare of Pontiac. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but are being handled by Calvert Funeral Home, 201 South Center Street, Clinton. The next death notice is for Ralph David Fay, F-A-Y. Ralph David Fay, 80, of Bement, passed away at 10:23 a.m. Saturday, May 3rd, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be on Thursday, May 8th, at 11 a.m. at Hines Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 348 North Pyatt Street, Bement. The Reverend Steve Ingram will officiate. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until the time of services Thursday at the funeral home. Burial with military honors for the Air Force veteran will be presented by Albert Parker, American Legion Post 620 in Bement, at Bement Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions can be made to the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. Aaron and Susie Hines of Hines, H-I-N-D-S, Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Bement have the honor to serve the family of David Fay. Our family is here to serve your family. Please visit our website at Hines Funeral Home, that's H-I-N-D-S, funeralhome.com, to offer condolences. The next death notice is for James Gatson III, that's G-A-T-S-O-N. James Gatson III, 42, died Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but are being handled by Williams Memorial Services, 1203 North Market Street, Champaign. The next death notice is for Charles Gooden Sr., G-O-O-D-E-N, Sr. Charles R. Gooden Sr., 93, passed away Thursday, May 1st, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Private family services will be held. Cox Knapp Funeral Home, that's COX-KNAPP Funeral Home of Paxton, is assisting the family with arrangements. Please sign his guest book at coxknapp.com, COXKNAPP.com. The next death notice is for Susan Henry. Susan Elaine, formerly Severs Henry, 74, of Monticello, passed away at 5:50 p.m. Friday, May 2nd, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, surrounded by her loved ones. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Friday, May 9th, at Mackie Wright Funeral Home, followed by a graveside service at 2:30 p.m. at Monticello Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Condolences may be sent to the family at MackieWrightFuneralHome.com. That's MackieWright FuneralHome.com. The next death notice is for Edith C. Huffman. Edith C. Huffman, 94, of Clinton, died at 2:50 p.m. Saturday, May 3, 2025, at home in Clinton. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but will be handled by Calvert Funeral Home, 201 South Center Street, Clinton. The next death notice is for Takuo Kinoshita. That's Takuo, T-A-K-U-O, Kinoshita, K-I-N-O-S-H-I-T-A. Takuo Kinoshita passed away on the morning of Sunday, April 27th, 2025. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to the Minority Teachers of Illinois Scholarship Program or the Illinois Consortium of International Studies Programs and Study Abroad Scholarships through the Parkland Foundation. Condolences may be offered at RennerWyckoffChapel.com. That's RennerWyckoffChapel.com. The next death notice, let me just say for Takuyo, at this time, no funeral service is planned, but friends are welcome to reach out and share memories with the family. The next death notice is for Mavis A. McMahon. That's Mavis, M-A-V-I-S, last name McMahon, M-C-M-A-H-O-N. Mavis Arlene McMahon, 93 of Clinton, died at 10:55 p.m. Friday, May 2nd, 2025, at home in Clinton. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but are being handled by Calvert Funeral Home, 201 South Center Street in Clinton. The next death notice is for Gail Mosley, M-O-S-E-L-E-Y. Gail Mosley, 68, of Urbana, died Monday, April 14th, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Memorial services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday at Joins Funeral Home, 1375 Illinois 30, Villa Grove. The next death notice is for George Orrington, O-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. George Orrington, 82, of Indianapolis, formerly of Danville, died at 7:56 a.m. Monday, April 28, 2025, at St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. Friday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 1215 West Bradley Avenue, Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon Friday at the funeral home. The next death notice is for Joseph L. Peloquin. I apologize for any mispronunciation. I'll say Peloquin. That's P-E-L-O-Q-U-I-N. Joseph L. Peloquin, 94, of Savoy, passed away at 9:45 a.m. Thursday, April 17, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will be held at the Windsor of Savoy at 3 p.m. Thursday, May 8th, that's this Thursday. Graveside services with military honors for the Air Force and Army veteran will be at noon Friday, May 9th, at Danville National Cemetery in Danville. In lieu of flowers, donations are kindly requested in the name of Joe Peloquin to the American Cancer Society. Please visit our website at Hinds Funeral Home, HINDSFuneralHome.com, to offer condolences. The next death notice is for Lainey W. Raspberry, R-A-S-B-E-R-R-Y. And that's Lainey, L-A-N-E-Y. Lainey Warren Raspberry, 83, died at 6:29 p.m. Friday, December 6, 2024, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery, Danville, with military honors for the Army veteran by American Legion Post 210. Wart Vet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. The next death notice is for Vicki L. Rogers. That's Vicki, V-I-C-K-I, middle initial L, last name Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. Vicki L. Rogers, 68, of Monticello, passed away Thursday, May 1st, 2025, at home, surrounded by her family. Visitation will be on Saturday, May 10th, at 10 a.m. with the funeral service to follow at 11 a.m. at First Christian Church, 3601 South Staley Road, Champaign. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the American Cancer Society for acute myeloid leukemia. The next death notice is for Elmer Schrock. That's Elmer, E-L-M-E-R, last name Schrock, S-C-H-R-O-C-K. Elmer Schrock, 84, died at 9:51 a.m. Saturday, May 3rd, 2025 at the Arthur Home. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. Sunday at Sunnyside Mennonite Church, 477 Illinois 133, Arcola. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Monday at the church. Pastor Brian Petersham and Pastor Mike Helmuth will officiate. Burial will be in the Sunnyside Mennonite Church Cemetery in Arcola. Edwards Funeral Home at 221 East Main Street in Arcola is in charge of arrangements. The next death notice is for Melissa Siegmund, S-I-E-G-M-U-N-D. Melissa D. Siegmund, 54, of St. Joseph, passed away Friday, May 2nd, 2025. A private family service will be held. Condolences may be made at freesfh.com. That's F-R-E-E-S-E-F-H.com. The next death notice is for Henry K. Stegmeier. That's Henry, H-E-N-R-I, last name Stegmeier, S-T-E-G-E-M-E-I-E-R. Henry Kellert Stegmeier, 74, of Champaign, died at 3:34 p.m. Thursday, April 3rd, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana with his sister by his side. A funeral mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. May 9th at Holy Cross Catholic Church, 405 West Clark Street, Champaign. Following the mass, burial will take place in Roselawn Cemetery, 611 East Pennsylvania Avenue, Champaign. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Thursday, May 8th at Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive West, Savoy. Memorial contributions can be made to the Professor Henry Stegmeier Fund for Emblematica, fund number 11773964. The University of Illinois Foundation, Post Office Box 734500, Chicago, Illinois 60673-4500. Condolences may be offered at morganmemorialhome.com. The next death notice is for Jennifer J. Walters. Jennifer J. Walters, 50, of Tilton, died at 7:05 p.m. Friday, May 2nd, 2025, at home, surrounded by her family. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but are being handled by Rort Vet Funeral Services and Crematory, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton. The next death notice is for Joanne Wilson. That's J-O-A-N-E, one name, Wilson. Joanne M. Wilson, 83, of Thomasboro, died at 6 a.m. Saturday, May 3rd, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon, Tuesday, May 6th, that's today, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Flatville, with the Reverend Scott Smith officiating. Burial will follow in Eden Park Cemetery, Rantoul. Visitation will be 2 hours before the service, Tuesday, from 10 a.m. to noon at the church. Bear Family Funeral Services of Flatville is handling the arrangements. Memorials may be made to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Flatville. Condolences and memories can be shared with the family at bearfuneralservices.com. That's B-A-I-E-R-F-U-N-E-R-A-L services, plural, .com. That concludes our reading of the obituaries for today. We'll now continue on with more of today's top stories. Now we go to B1, to the town hall section of the newspaper. And as a reminder, every Tuesday in the News Gazette, we'll turn over our commentary page to community members and other experts with local ties. If you have interest in weighing in on a topic making news, you can always contact editor Jeff D'Alessio. That's Jeff, J-E-F-F, last name D'Alessio, D'Alessio, at his email address, which is jdalessio@newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Take Two, I Love the Balkan Flavor of the Team. And there's a photograph of a man standing in front of an old newspaper page on a wall. Let's read what it says. Checking in from his native Bosnia, former Illini forward, Demir Krupalija, that's K-R-U-P-A-L-I-J-A, who shared with us his take on Brad Underwood's internationally rebuilt men's basketball roster. Since new anything-goes rules still apply, I think building the best possible roster by going the international route is totally fine. Players come and go these days, and even back in the day, it was really hard to build a team around in-state guys. That sense of local patriotism to play for your state school is totally gone with NIL, so if you do not have that as a tool to recruit the best players in-state, why not look internationally to get the missing pieces? As a Bosnian American, I love the Balkan flavor of the team for next season. Should be fun to watch, and I look forward to a lot of skill in different spots and a lot of fire and emotion on the floor. It is not easy to quickly get together as a team, but having foreign guys on the team that speak the same language will help them get quicker. Andrej Stojakovic can be the perfect bridge between American guys and the Balkan boys to make it all perfectly fit together. The next headline reads, Our Turn by Mike and Susan Catt, C-A-T-T. Time for an upgrade. For rural Illinois to realize its potential on renewable energy, co-ops need to step up. Imagine this. Your home is powered by sunlight, your car runs on clean energy, and you're actively reducing your carbon footprint. That's the vision we had when we went solar in 2020, a step toward energy independence and a brighter future. But despite generating more energy than we use, we've been giving nearly half of it back to Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative for free. As residents of Northern Vermilion County, we invested in a 24 kilowatt solar system to power our home and eventually charge two electric vehicles. This was our commitment to reducing reliance on fossil fuels and preparing for an electrified lifestyle. But working with Eastern Illini Electric Co-op has revealed the frustrating barriers that outdated policies create for clean energy adopters. Eastern Illini caps net metering, a system that credits solar customers for the energy they produce, at just 10 kilowatts, far below what many modern homes need, especially those planning to electrify vehicles and appliances. Because our system exceeds that cap, we don't receive compensation for any energy we send back to the grid. Essentially, we're providing the co-op with free electricity it can redistribute without seeing any benefits. We still have to buy electricity when the sun isn't shining. But to put this in perspective, our monthly energy bill with Eastern Illini is around $230. Well, another family with a similar size solar system just a few miles away on Ameren's grid pays only $11. This stark disparity stems from Eastern Illini's structural policies, which disincentivize larger systems and leave homeowners like us in limbo, too big to qualify for net metering and too small to enjoy any benefits from commercial programs. Over the lifetime of our system, we've generated 124 megawatt hours of electricity, equivalent to about $19,000 worth of power at delivered pricing. On average, we've been producing 32 megawatts a year, but we're not reimbursed for the 15 megawatts per year that Eastern Illini keeps for free. When we've asked why, the response has been the same. That's just the way the rules are. Meanwhile, homeowners with systems capped at 10 kilowatts do get net metering reimbursement, highlighting how these outdated rules fail to meet the demands of modern electrified homes. If rural electric co-ops like Eastern Illini are serious about embracing the clean energy transition, they must adapt. This includes raising or eliminating residential net metering caps, offering fair reimbursement rates, and supporting larger residential systems that align with the energy needs of the future. If rural electric cooperatives don't become friendlier to member owners who have gone solar, it may be time to support legislation such as the Clean and Reliable Grid Affordability Act, which is Senate Bill 2473. Despite these challenges, we don't regret going solar. There's nothing like driving a car powered by sunshine knowing that you're helping reduce emissions. Since installing our system, we've prevented almost 195,000 pounds of carbon dioxide emissions, equivalent to planting almost 1,500 trees. That's 1,500 trees. But for rural Illinois to realize its renewable energy potential, co-ops need to step up. We hope others will join us in urging Eastern Illini and other co-ops to modernize their policies so more families can confidently invest in clean energy and build a greener, more sustainable future for all. Mike and Susan Catt live in Rankin. And there's a photograph of them both smiling for the camera, middle-aged Caucasian family looking at the camera. Next up, My Turn by Sean Doherty. S-H-A-U-N, Doherty, D-O-H-E-R-T-Y. It's time to ignite change on mental health care. Today, about one out of every five Americans is suffering with a mental health issue, and about one in 25 adults is experiencing a serious mental illness that substantially interferes with one or more major life activities. In every story, there is strength and there is hope. As CEO of the Pavilion Behavioral Health System, my staff and I have the privilege of serving members of our community with mental illnesses that are often invisible to others. Since its inception in 1949, Mental Health Awareness Month has been observed in May. This provides an opportunity for action to address the stigma preventing individuals from getting the care they need. Today, positive outcomes are not only possible, they are experienced every day. What can we do to assist those in need of mental health care and treatment? One, listen and show understanding. If you suspect a loved one is struggling, listen to their story and encourage them to seek help. Two, share the crisis response line. 988 is the 24/7 free and confidential text, chat, talk support line. Military veterans may press 1 for dedicated support. Suicide is often preventable when people at risk receive the support that they need and their story is heard. In case of acute medical emergency, you can dial 911 or go to the nearest emergency room. Three, and lastly, encourage students to pursue careers in mental health fields, whether through nursing, medical, clinical, or vocational programs. We must inspire the next generation of talented, caring, and compassionate professionals. Working together, we can improve the lives of Americans suffering with mental health concerns. By speaking up, we help to shatter stigma, foster understanding, and help others find their own path to healing. We invite you to speak up, share your story, and show your strength. Use the hashtag MHAM. Sean Doherty is CEO of the Pavilion Behavioral Health System, and there's a photograph of him in the paper. And right underneath it is a logo. It's a green ribbon. And it says, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The next headline reads, My Turn by Peter Buckley. Somebody to Someone. My new favorite song has a toe-tapping beat that makes it easy to like. But it's the words and YouTube video that accompany it that really make me like it. The name of the song is Someone to You, initially released in 2017 by the British musician Banners. The chorus is, I just want to be somebody to someone. The video highlights four individual boys in high school. They are a mixture of heights, weights, colors, and hairstyles. They might even be classified as nerds, quote unquote. The scenes show multiple times when the boys are being bullied or otherwise in situations where they are not fitting in with their classmates. As these scenes play out, the words of the song shout, "I don't want to die or fade away. I just want to be someone. I just want to be someone." Well, doesn't everyone? I want to be somebody to someone. Oh, I never had nobody and no road home. I want to be somebody to someone. Someone to you, someone to you, someone to you. But circumstances change and the video goes on to show the boys meeting up with each other and being accepted just as they are, or as the song goes, being somebody to someone, at least by their fellow outcasts. The culmination of the video shows the boys going to prom in their colorful but quirky tuxedos, and of course they don't have dates, but during the prom they steal the show by performing a coordinated dance routine with reckless abandon. The entire school is delighted by this unexpected display, and students demonstrate their support by stopping whatever they had been doing to clap in time with the music as they watch the nerds. At the conclusion of the song, a group of girls, who might best be described as part of a clique known in every high school as the Cool Kids, are approached by the four nerds. It is apparent that these girls, who had never given these boys, four boys, a second look before, were suddenly interested in them. But when the boys reach where the Cool Kids are standing, they push through those girls and keep walking toward four other girls, who are not part of the clique like them. While listening to this song, I thought to myself, isn't that what everyone would like to have? A relationship where you are viewed as being someone and not just another face in the crowd to be walked past or made fun of. Someone who gets you, listens to you, understands you, accepts you, whether you're a quirky nerd or a star athlete. It could be a brother-sister relationship or that of a parent-child. The important thing is that everyone needs to be somebody to someone. There are so many reasons why I like this song. And besides, I really enjoy the beat. Peter Buckley of St. Joseph is a retired special agent with the FBI and a former chief deputy with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. And there's two photos that accompany this article. They are stills from the music video. One is of a man in black playing an acoustic guitar front and center, and then behind him are four, I guess, quote-unquote, nerds. Different weird kind of strange outfits, different heights, different races. The caption reads, "A scene from the music video for Banner's 2017 song, Someone to You, finds the British musician Center leading a group of misfits through the halls of their high school." That's provided from YouTube photo. And then there's four girls in another photo, different heights, different races, a little bit awkwardly dressed. And the caption for that image reads, "At the end of the music video, the boys who have just wowed the prom with their dance routine push past the popular girls to walk toward a group of outcasts like themselves." The next headline reads, "The Park Bar and Grill. Business ordered to close temporarily over public safety concerns." This article is written by Jana Wiersema, and is based out of Champaign. "The city of Champaign has ordered a local bar to close due to safety issues. The Park Bar and Grill at 1906 West Bradley Avenue was ordered to immediately cease operations on Saturday due to public safety concerns related to the establishment repeatedly failing to report disorderly conduct and/or violations of state and city ordinances occurring on their property," officials said. "The building that houses the Park Bar and Grill is currently listed for sale with an asking price of $1.1 million. Bar owner P.J. Singh, S-I-N-G-H, said in a previous interview that he expected to stay open under the eventual new property owner. And there's a photograph of the exterior of the Park Bar and Grill at 1906 West Bradley Avenue in Champaign. That photo is provided. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part two of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. Thanks for listening. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll be back to read with you next Tuesday.